What's up? This is Mario with Rugged 33 Podcast. I have a special guest today, and we're actually recording first time back in the United States in Northern California. Got my nephew, little Louie, as you guys know him. He used to be an officer. Now, if you own child support, he's coming after you.
What's up, guys?
Right,
coming after your bank accounts.
Right. Have you ever looked up random people?
I can't answer that. But yeah, I usually don't. I try to mind my own business. Some stuff, you know, you're better off not knowing.
Yeah.
But by the way, we're looking for you.
They're looking for me.
Yeah.
Oh man, no. I think I told you that story. You know, when I was married to your Auntie Deidre, I remember I came home one day and there was a letter like perfectly open on my bed and it was just laying there. And I looked at it and it said, it was like a child. What would it say? Like child services or?
Yeah, Department of Child Support.
Yeah. So I looked at it and it's like, oh, you owe. Child support. And I didn't even get through reading the letter because your aunt came in and she's like blah 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 blah, and I'm like, nah, it's a mistake. And so of course she made me dial the phone on speaker, and it was a huge mistake. But
you know, it might actually been a lot of times if you were receiving like cash aid at any time.
Uh-huh.
What they usually do is they go after the other parent. So
like
if it was in her name, they would have gone after you. And by the way, people, stay away from cash aid unless you really need it, because we do get our money back.
So one way or the other.
Yeah.
So it was horrible. The crazy thing though, it happened to me twice.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So first that time, and of course I was in the doghouse for like 3 days, and then months later they called my work, and so I had to go in. The HR called me in, and they're like, and then again it wasn't right. They made a mistake. Imagine that, right? The county making a mistake. So.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Thanks, Louie.
Yeah, it's not my county.
Have you had any like weird like or crazy situations?
You know what's crazy is I came across a case maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And you know Brandon, I sent it over to him.
Yeah.
So this guy, his case has been open for 18 years. Child's already turned 18. But in that time, I think he's only made like maybe two or three payments. And so when it came across my desk, I was looking at it, and this guy owed, after, you know, because of course, you know, with child support, you pay interest on it. If you're not paying your child support, they charge interest, 10% interest. So this guy owed $875,000.
Oh my gosh!
In back child support.
How many kids did he have?
For two children.
Oh my gosh, dude!
Man, this poor guy will never. And you know what? The crazy thing is that, you know, right now there's so many programs with the state of California where if the money is because of cash aid and it's owed to the state, they have a lot of programs where, like, you can make, you know, certain payments, you know, and they'll forgive the remaining balance. Well, this guy wasn't so lucky because, you know, all that money wasn't owed to the state of California. It was owed to his baby mama. And, you know, if he hadn't been making payments, I'm sure she wasn't too happy.
Yeah.
Dang, you see some crazy stuff.
Yeah, and you can't even get – they take your driver's license away?
Yeah,
and
so usually, license? Like, after – 2 months of missed payments, they'll submit your license for suspension, and then they'll suspend your passport.
Wow.
They'll suspend your fishing license, hunting license.
Not my fishing license.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Crazy. Yeah, they definitely don't play when it comes to it. I know that they're looking at some other law changes, but yeah.
Wow. Well, moms and dads, they need that money anyway, so
yeah, definitely
they should be paying.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when, you know, a parent isn't paying, the only one that's hurting is the child, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we always try to work with both sides though.
All right, cool. All right, so today's episode is about me being in Central Asia. We won't say the countries that I've been in, but we'll just say Central Asia, doing mission work over there. And as you guys know, I'm an English teacher over there at a international school.
Do you ever like teach the kid like slang words?
They teach me slang words in Russian.
Like dirtbag.
Yeah. No, I try. The crazy part is that they love American culture. They know American culture really, really well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so American culture has touched all over the place. And I seriously live all the way across the world. And American culture touches them. And so they teach me like a lot of slang. They teach me Russian. I do know some of the Russian bad words because students will call me bad words, not knowing that I know what it is now. Because, you know, I'll be like, what did he call me? And then they'll be like, Mr. Mario, they called you, you know? And I'm like, oh, man. So, but it's funny because in Russian, it goes deep. Like, it's not just, like, personal. It goes to, like, another generation, you know? I have friends that are Arab. And they talk about like you're not just your mom, it's like your great grandma,
your ancestor.
Yeah, like they go deep, dude. So yeah, Russian's the same way. It's pretty interesting, but yeah, no, it's cool being a teacher there. It's a whole new thing for me, but it's been interesting. I think one of the people asked me like, oh, what as far as school is concerned, was like, what is the most interesting story that you have, and then we'll get into missions. But they asked me, or one of my students the year before got stabbed with a pen by another student. They're in fourth grade, bro.
That's like some Russian Russian thing.
I don't know, but got stabbed with the pen, and so they're telling me the story over lunch, and. And then the kid that got stabbed, he was okay. He just got stabbed in the shoulder, right?
Oh, and that's better.
Right, I know, right? And so, but they were telling me the story. The funny part was the kid, it wasn't either one of the kid's pen. It was one of the other student's pen. And he was actually crying because that was his favorite pen. So that just shows it's just interesting. It's definitely different, but
I bet there's a lot of cultural differences. And
yeah, I think some of the biggest cultural differences that I've came across is people, they don't smile a lot. And in Central Asia, it's just they rarely smile, even in pictures, even kids. Like, you'll see some of the pictures that I have of my kids and students. Like, I have to tell them, like, smile, and then they'll smile. But normally, if you're walking down the street or whatever, they don't smile. The other thing is, and again, this is contrast. It's not, like, to dog out Central Asians, because I have a lot of good friends that are Central Asian, you know. But, so they don't smile a lot. And then, oh, what's crazy is they have no personal space. Like, you know, like we have personal bubbles, yeah, and lines. And in Europe, they call them queues. I learned that also. But they have no personal space. Like, if you're not, like, breathing on the next person's neck in line, they'll cut in front of you.
Is that just, like, a cultural thing?
It is. It is because I've noticed there they do it when I was... in one of the countries, I'll say, when I was in Turkey, they were more cool with the queues, more cool with the lines. Oh, okay. and same thing with Amsterdam, because this year I was able to be in I'll just say Central Asia, and then I was in Turkey and also
Amsterdam.
Yeah, Netherlands. But wow. Netherlands was cool, bro.
Like, yeah, I heard Amsterdam, that whole region's cool. We were just talking the other day about the Anne Frank house and stuff.
That was the highlight. I went to the Anne Frank house. Talk about a heavy heart. You're walking in that house, you know, like, stuff went down. You know, yeah, even the streets, dude. It was Yeah, I had a heavy heart, but I was able to go to the Van Gogh Museum, and that was sick. It was so awesome. And I didn't know that he was a pastor's son. So
really?
Yeah, he was a pastor's son. He actually went to seminary. And he was horrible student. Imagine that, you know. But he was a horrible student, and he actually like flunked out of seminary, but they took him back because they needed people, you know, they needed a pastor out in like, he's like, he was like very passionate about being a pastor.
Wow.
And yeah, I learned that there. I didn't know that. And I actually saw like the portrait of his dad's church, of his dad's Bible, and it was interesting, man.
Didn't he like cut off his ear though?
Yeah. No, he definitely fought some demons. Yeah. Like, because after he left Christianity, he went sideways, man. He went, yeah, it was crazy.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool that, you know, you're able to experience, you know, that type of stuff. You know, you told me when you were in Turkey, you got to see like the Ephesus and like the different places that, you know, historically the church.
Yeah, the 3/4 of the Bible is written, of the New Testament is written in Turkey or surrounding Turkey. And so the interesting thing is here I'm taking a university class to finish a degree in theology, and it just so happens, bro, that we're in Turkey, our team's in Turkey, and we're going through Izmir, which is Samar in the New Testament. We're going to Ephesus. We're going to Laodicea. They call it the Tri-Cities, Herapolis. We went to all those places. I had a lot of cool experiences. There's this place called Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, and it's a mosque now, but it used to be a basilica for the early Christian church, where they would make a lot of decisions for the early church.
Wow.
And then it got conquered by the Turks. The Muslims came in and overtook, and it is burned down like 5 different times. They rebuilt it. The cool thing is that painted on the walls behind these white curtains, like tapestries, there's like pictures of Jesus, there's the archangels. It's amazing. It's beautiful.
That's got to be mind-blowing, like thinking like, man, these are the roads the disciples, the apostles, you know, walked on. And
exactly,
you know,
Ephesus was like that for me, because I'm walking and I'm like, man, Paul was here, you know, like John and Jesus's mother Mary, she, you know, they were there. And that's her house is up on this hill, actually.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I didn't get to go, but I want to take my family. I'd like to take my mom there. But when I was walking down these streets, it was cool just to see like the engraved crosses in the stone. You could still see Christian crosses there, and just to know like you're standing and walking like where the New Testament was written out, you know.
So that region, is it really religious? Is there a lot of religious people in that region, or is it more since it's been conquered by the Muslims? Like,
No, there's no Christians there. It's like Turkey's like less than 1% Christian as well.
Wow.
So if you would look at like, let's say that on a scale from 1 to 10, right? So 1 being, I guess it would be non-Muslim, and then 10 being like a Muslim state. So 10 would be like the Arab states and stuff like that. Turkey would be like 8-9 on a scale, because they're trying to get to be a Muslim state. They want to be this. And then a lot of Central Asia is like 7-8, like
so,
on the Richter.
So like the region that you deal a lot with is in that.
Yeah. So what that looks like is less than 1% Christian. Also, the Christian church is on the downfall there. People are like, why? Well, lack of discipleship. No difference than the United States, you know, lack of discipleship, leadership. So there, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And it's illegal to be a missionary there.
Wow, man, that's crazy. So like, what initially made you decide to become a missionary in somewhere that, you know, a country that's where it's illegal to be a missionary? You know, like, what was your motivation?
Well, you know, I'm a numbers guy. Sometimes I feel like I'm Matthew, you know, like he was all into numbers, and I'm like that. I think if there was a, like, poster child for a logical Christian, if that's even possible, because you have to have faith to be a Christian, it would be, you know, I would have been that guy. And so when I looked at the numbers, because, I mean, you know, like, your grandpa, my dad, like, we're always into missions. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude retired, my dad retires, you know, from, or, I mean, as you know, there's no such thing as retirement, but he's done with pastoralship, and then him and my mom moved to South Africa, you know, and they start missions over there. And and at that time, I was like, are you crazy, man? Like, you're older, you have heart conditions, you know, like, he has a heart condition, and then next, you know, heart attack, and we would joke around with him, you know.
Leaves the hospital, goes to the mission.
Yeah.
goes straight from the hospital to the airport.
Yeah, and it wasn't the most, like, South Africa at that time was, like, going through apartheid. They were just coming out of it. It was, like, crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, knowing that my parents were involved in it, I was like, it can't end. Like, honestly, I didn't want it to end with my dad and my mom, because I believe what the Bible says, that you know, that I'll continue on, that, and I wanted to continue on the ministry, but I needed to hear it from God for myself. And so as I was studying, to answer your question, as I was studying the Gospels again, I was like, no, like, the numbers didn't match up in missions. It's like less than 1% of missionaries get sent to the less than 1% that are reached. There's 3 billion people out there that have never heard of Jesus. Never.
Wow.
I've talked to people that have never heard of Jesus. They might know him as a prophet, but they don't know him as a God. You know what I'm saying? Or they've never even just heard the name.
Yeah, definitely.
So, when I started looking at the numbers and, of course, praying about it, and I know for a fact that it was my turn. It was my turn to carry that mantle. And I had to know that first that it was from God. And it was already written, you know, Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. The United States missionaries and European missionaries, I mean, early in with the early church, they were constantly going. They're constantly going somewhere, you know, in missions. And then it died off. And now, even, you know, I look at churches as well, as some have missions programs, some don't, and some are trying to get there. And I'm not saying you're bad or good if you don't. I'm just saying that the complete gospel of Christ is also the Great Commission. It's a command. It's not like, oh, well, if you can do this, you know, he says to go to all nations and make disciples and baptize them. And so how are they going to hear if we don't go?
Yeah, definitely. And side note, you know, local churches, pastors listening to this, you know, this is your cue. You know, this is God telling you, hey, you know, get involved in missions. You know, I could tell you, you know, from experience, you know, my local church, we launched out, you know, Mario, over a year ago, and, you know, God has blessed us, you know, since we've sown into the missions, and, you know, if you want God to bless your church, and you want to really be doing the will of God, you know, sow into missions, you know.
Yeah.
I really believe that's part of what the church should be doing.
I was there with your dad, you know, because he's the one who, like, I was in transition before I went to Central Asia. I was like, man, what am I going to do? And so here I'm in Modesto, and Pastor Luis Cruz, I'm staying with him and his wife. And at that time, you too, huh?
Yeah.
You're living there. And so I have my own room, and then he's like, Mario, you know, like, maybe God's preparing, you know, maybe God's preparing you for missions. And I remember just looking at him, like, sideways, like, bro, you're crazy. You know, like, because mine and Pastor Lewis's relationship goes way back to Pennsylvania. And so he's like my older brother. So, I mean, no disrespect. You guys
know my dad since he was probably, what, 9 years
old? Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah. When he graduated from high school, he moved, you know, to California. And so, and we were roommates again. So, that's how far back we go. So, anyways, he threw that out there. And at first I thought, I was like, man, I'm 40-something. Let's see. So, that dude, in January, it's going to be 3 years, going on my third year.
Wow.
Being there. So, yeah, I'll be 48 July 23rd. So, I was like thinking like, no, I'm just going to stay and be comfortable and blah, 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 and do the pastor thing and, you know, get healed and all that kind of stuff. But anytime I started, when I'm reading, I was reading in scripture and then I was reading about missions, my heart would just break every single time. Here, I'm an escrow assistant at this company, making good money, no need. I'm doing good. I go to a good church, Place of Mercy, and at that time, I would go between you guys and the Good Life, Modesto, and so I didn't have any need. My kids are healthy, everything's going good, but I knew God called me to step outside of myself, and I was in that point of time where I can do that. My kids are older, you know, it's just me. And so after much prayer and thought and people speaking into my life, and for a while I separated myself because people's voices are heavy sometimes in my life, and so I had to step away, you know. I would lock myself in my room,
hiding in the cave.
Yeah, I would lock myself in my room because of course I want to stay with you guys, you know, and hang out, and but I knew God was calling me to missions.
So that's crazy, you know, how not only, you know, God calls you to missions, but he sends you to a country where it's illegal to be a missionary, you know?
Yeah.
What are some of like the repercussions, you know, if you were to get caught, like, you know, like what?
Yeah, well they could kick you out or imprison you and you have to pay a fine. I think one of the interesting things that happened, I remember one time I was going to preach for a local church there, and right before I went up, my translator is like, Pastor Mario, if a man comes in, make sure you just look at me and I'll give you the sign to just sit down and to be quiet, because the state's going to come in and check. They've been checking the different churches.
Wow.
And so there's already pressure, bro, to preach to God's children. Like, I take it serious, you know?
Yeah,
like, definitely. Here, like I'm speaking God's word to his children. So I already have that on me, right? And then now I'm in this country where it's illegal for foreigners to speak the gospel, because they're very specific about that, that foreigners cannot speak the gospel.
Is it that they feel like, that you guys might, you know, bring some type of uprising against the government or something?
Hey, it's the same spirit Jesus was dealing with, yeah, right? During the Roman times. It's the same spirit. It's the same thing. Like, hey, you could be a Christian, you just can't cause any issues.
Yeah, definitely.
You could be a Christian, you just can't cause a rebellion. You know what I'm saying? You could just be a Christian.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the first year. I got arrested, I paid a bribe, and that was just the first year.
Wow.
And the first year wasn't the hardest year. Last year was the hardest year. It was the hardest year by far, because now I'm working there. It was a little bit easier because now I had a work visa, because there it's a Muslim state, plus they're coming, it has communist residue. You know what I'm saying? And then the war happens. So now they're suspect. They're like, oh, you're an American. And I'm like, yeah, because I could get by with being Mexican just by skin color. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then when they see your passport, then they're like, oh, you're American. And I'm like, yeah. You know, well, what do you do? Why are you really here? You know? And before I was a teacher, I was doing mission stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't have like that. I didn't have a work passport. Now I have a work passport, or a work visa. So now I'm a teacher. So it makes it a little bit easier, but still, like, I think it was 4 months ago. I called your dad because I was just going through it. And I'm like, bro, I think I'm coming home. He's like, it's okay. You know, like, I'm just in tears. He's like, it's okay. You can, yeah, okay, then come home. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, they took my passport and I have to go to the what was it called? It's not their embassy. I can't believe it.
The consulate?
Yeah, the consulate. So you gotta go to the consulate. So I go to the consulate, an attorney, and my translator, right? And so I go and they take me to this building and out the back door to another building, and it's something like straight from like a Soviet spy movie, you know, like there's one desk, one chair on one side, one chair on the other side, and the agent sitting there, and he has my passport.
And he has the only thing missing is the battery with the
shocker, right? Yeah, I'm not lying, bro. Like, I've never been so scared in my whole life. Like, you know, like, we've hung out, you know, in Modesto, like, I'm from East LA, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I've hung out in some neighborhoods, but this was, because it was new, I didn't know. It's not like, as a missionary, like, they prepare you for that, you know? And now I'm like, maybe we should. Maybe, you know, I should be prepared on how do I pay a bribe, you know, or should I even pay it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, these kinds of things, because they're crossing borders. Right, and you would think, like, being Mexican, like, we cross borders.
Natural.
Yeah, you know, like, that's no big deal to
believe in borders,
right? But so back to the story, this guy, and he's a young guy, dude, big dude, right? Young guy, and he's like, "How long have you been here?" Like, all like hard, you know. And I'm like, Russian accent, you know. And I've been here, and I told him the date. And then he's like, lies. And I'm like, you know, I was hoping that I was being punked, you know, but I'm like, nah, these guys don't play like that, you know? And he's like, lies. And I'm like, dude, I'm not lying. Like, you have my passport, you know, like, look at it. And so he's like, well, what are you doing here? And I'm like, sir, I'm a teacher. And he's like, lies. And I'm like, I work at, so I tell him where I work at, I tell him the street where I work at, and then he's like, oh yeah, I know, right? So, dude, I'm sweating up a storm, I'm praying, right? And you know how it is when Satan will use anything, right? He uses fear, like, to mess with it. And by far, dude, my heartbeat had to be going crazy. And because I don't know if your passport has ever been taken from you, but in countries like where I'm at, that's huge. It's a very scary thing. And so he's like, so I want to go back to, while this guy's interrogating me, and he's not hitting me or anything like that, he's just calling me a liar the whole time, asking me a bunch of questions, just trying to shake me, you know? And here I'm like praying, like, Lord, like, you got to get me out of this one, man. Like, you know. And then he starts flipping through my passport, and there's countries in there that really nobody really says, oh, I would like to go to that country and visit. Right. So Mexico, Mexico, right? And my passport, Bangladesh, China, what was the other one? Nepal, right? And he uses those against me. He's like, why would anybody want to go to these countries, you know? And then you're American, why are you, you know? And just the same thing. And so Satan likes to use anything good that you've done for Christ. He'll try and turn it around. Yeah, and that's what they were doing to me. And so the cool thing is, I'm very careful when I say God spoke to me. I just started remembering, like, hey, all those trips had to do with, most of the trips, maybe half of the trips from Mexico were vacation, but the other ones, you know, but most of them were missions. And so it was like the very good thing, you know, that God was using for his goodness, they were using against me. But it was cool to notice it, to remember it. And I really believe that God brought it into remembrance. Like, no, I took you those places and I have you even right now while you're afraid. And
definitely,
you know.
So how would you say, like, what, being, you know, a missionary in these countries, you know, how do you find that balance between, you know, like, you know, sharing your faith and you know, respecting the local customs, laws, yeah, yeah, and stuff like that?
Well, as you know, like, 98% is Muslim, and my really good friend, mostly all my friends are Muslim, practicing Muslim. Like, the dudes, the guys, they leave, like, work on Friday to go to prayer. Wow. You know what I'm saying? And so I usually start off with where they end with Jesus. They believe that Jesus is a great teacher, you know, and a prophet, but that's as far as they go. And we believe that he's God, you know. And the very thing that they use actually against us is the Trinity teaching. Because they say, oh, well, you guys believe in the Trinity. Like, you guys believe in three gods, you know. And I'm like, no. We don't believe in three gods. You know, and we could go off on a tangent in that. But that very teaching they actually use against us as Christians. And in the countries that I'm in. And so I know enough of the Quran to talk to them on that level. I know enough of the Quran, and I know the Bible enough to meet them where they're at. And so even to the point of, like, I was telling you about, like, Eid was just this, they started celebrating and ended, I think it was this Friday, in Muslim country, in Muslim faith. And when I was over there, I lived directly across the street from a big mosque, and they were celebrating Ramadan. While my friends, when you end Ramadan at night, because they fast from sunup to sundown, and then when they break fast, it's called iftar. And they have this this meal, but you eat certain things, and then you eat normal, right, that night. So my friends invited me and some of our other friends to iftar, right? So we get there, and we're in my friend's house. My friend's from Pakistan, from Karachi, Pakistan. You know them, like... Some of them are pretty radical Muslim, and I want to say my friend is not like that. And so he invites us over. We're eating. We're having a good day. They break fast. They say a prayer that they all say, and a traditional prayer. And then he turns and he asks, Mario, would you like to say your prayer? Because he knows I'm Christian. And I was like, at first I was frozen because I was surprised, you know? And so there was two other Christians. There's my translator, and then actually one of our other friends, she's from England, and she grew up in the English church, right? And so I'm like, okay. And so I said, hey guys, we'll do the Our Father. So we did the Our Father, bro. You know, and I want to say this to the listeners is that I know for a fact that God showed up there, because we know Jesus, we know God is everywhere, mm-hmm. and he also resides inside of us. His Holy Spirit resides inside of us. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that his spirit was there, And man, it just affected our time together. And I can't say like there was fire, somebody started speaking in different tongues or anything, but I knew just their reaction to our prayer.
Well, it's crazy too how God will use something like that, because I could already see with you starting to tell a story about how you celebrated this holiday with them. I can see some of the Christians picking up their stones already, like,
Really?
why are you celebrating this Muslim holiday? But I believe God, Jesus sat with the sinners. Jesus sat with those that weren't believers. And I believe that God really used that to open up doors,
Bro, how are they gonna hear? How are they gonna hear if we're not there? You know what I'm saying? I'm not, of course. And they know they say this saying. It's Inshallah, right? God's will. This is what the Muslim my Muslim friends say. It's like us saying, God's will, whatever God has, God's will. So they'll say Inshallah, and so jokingly, because we're friends, and I built relationship with them, right? I'll say Inshallah, and they'll laugh. But then I continue on, and I'm like, but I'm talking about Jesus, and they laugh. You know what I'm saying? Now, are there other Muslims that no, I wouldn't do that. Because I think it would be disrespectful.
Yeah,
They don't
definitely.
know me, but because I've built relationship with my friends, then I mean, for them to even invite us to iftar, you know what I'm saying? That'd be like us inviting, because we have a mosque here, like right down the
Invited
street.
him over for Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it'd be like, hey, let's have communion together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that would be the
But
equivalent.
that's the gospel in a nutshell, like Jesus, God's love, he was willing to sit with those people, I believe that's why Jesus had such an impact he had in his time here, was because he created the he sat down, he developed those relationships with people that, like society otherwise, would have been outcast,
Exactly. And that's why, and I want to make sure for all the listeners who are listening, the only reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because I believe this is what God called me to do. He's the one who gives me the power and the strength and the know-how to do it. It's all Him. He gives me favor, right? And I believe even the gift of teaching is from Him. Dude, an infidel teaches their kids English. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And so when I walk into the classroom, right, Jesus is also with me. And how I share and how I teach the love of Christ is also through the way that I teach. My kids, they don't know that I pray for them. When I put my hand on their shoulder, I'm praying for them. Like, dude, it's like me and you, we grew up in a family that were Christian. They never have. They don't know. They never heard. And they'll ask me. They'll be like, Mr. Mario, are you fasting? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fasting. Oh, for Ramadan? And I'm like, no, for Jesus. I'm a Christian. And they're like, oh, you guys fast? And I'm like, yeah, we fast. I know this amazing physique doesn't look like it. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So it opens up doors that I could share with my friends and my friends there and my students. Yeah, they know. And even the security guards, this is what they say, who they'll say, oh, that is the Mexican Christians' students. That's what they call my students.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the Mexicans, students. That's the Christian students, and so, just again, just us being there. You know what
And
I'm
how do you
saying?
feel about that? Because they, obviously there's that, we say like that stereotype. You're like, no,
Yeah,
he's the Christian,
yeah, yeah. So I think, well, first when, and we'll get to that. First when people see me, they're like trying to figure out, because especially because my tattoos, usually I have them covered up, right? But once they see them and once they hear me talking, they're like, they're trying to figure out where I'm from. And so they'll be like, so they'll be like, Spaniard. And I'm like, no, nah, And then I'm
something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, Mexica. And then they're like, oh, Mexica. And I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, Canelo. And I'm like, yeah. Boxing. And I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Chapo.
Yeah. No, and then that's the next one, cartel. And then I'll be like, yeah, shh, like that. And then they just start cracking up. That's when they'll smile, you know. But, yeah, at school, it was difficult because it was like all the guys are getting together, you know. I'm like, hey, where are you guys going? They're going to prayer. You know what I'm saying? Hey, where are you guys going? Oh, we have a breakfast tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, cool, you know. And over there, there's not a lot of Christian men. At the local church that I go to, there is. So we get together every so often, once a month. But, dude, like, I hunger for, like, American friendship, guy friendship, you know, Christian friendship.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that. Like the majority of the Christians are women, seriously. Because the Great War, World War II, a lot of their men died off. So guy-to-girl ratio is, like, crazy. There's so many women compared to men.
There you go, guys. Mario will be starting his Christian dating service.
Right. Yeah, guys, if you're single and you want to get... seriously, I know so many good Christian women. Dude, they never been married. They're like in their, you know, 30s, mid-30s, no kids. They refuse to marry, you know, Muslim because they'll lose their faith.
And that's honorable. That's definitely honorable.
You know? Dude, it's crazy. You know, some of us rush into... relationships, you know what I'm saying? And
for me, or?
No, I'm talking about me. That's why I started copying, yeah. Not you.
I used to be me,
right? And so, no, I mean, it's just cool. And so, the other interesting thing is there's parachurch organizations there, but they're not there. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they're not, they're a whole other name. And that's why, like, people are like, how can, like, I can hear the toxic Christian. Pastor Mario's Instagram doesn't really look like a missionary's, you know, Instagram. He has this, that. Dude, there's a reason why. Like, think about it. There's a reason why my Instagram is the way it is. One of my friends from over there, she's Muslim. She even messaged me. She's like, man, bro, you get to America and you're like, all your Instagram is all Christianed out. You know what I'm saying? And so even people here, because, you know, they'll talk to my mom and be like, Mario really doesn't post much about what he's doing over there. Like, dude, I can't. Believe me, I would love to. And that's the thing, is for us to pray for the missionaries that are behind the lines that aren't posting on Instagram, because they can't. There's a reason why.
Yeah, definitely. You're limited to what you can post, limited to what you can say.
Bro, you have tried to send me, like, worship videos, blocked. Wow. I can't see it. That's why I had to get a VPN. And then my other friend told me how to maneuver through it. Now I could get them. But before, remember you had sent me, I couldn't.
So even, like, YouTube, you probably could, you know.
There's some stuff that you can see. But I don't know why, especially like through Instagram, Facebook, like they block it, bro.
Wow.
They'll block it where I can't see it. They even, for a while, my podcast was blocked, but I had it as a spiritual Christian, like in Spotify, right? And so I had to change it. So I changed it up, and then now people could listen to it over there.
Wow.
So, dude, one of the hardest things in countries like that is they're constantly surveying. Surveillance, everything, Instagram, everything is being surveillanced. Is that how you say it? Surveillance?
Yeah, surveilled, whatever.
Surveilled.
Yeah. I don't know. Watching it.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's being watched. It's on some of the. I looked at the statistics in countries like that. It's like number 10 on surveillance. Like, that's why it's so difficult. The numbers are so difficult for the Christian church to grow, is because of constant surveillance.
That's just a stronghold of the enemy, you know. It's crazy because I was just reading this article. They were talking about Hitler. And one of the things that he would say is, you know, if you want to take control of a region, a country, He's like, you control what information they're allowed to receive.
Yep.
And I truly believe that the enemy, you know, God wants to do something in this region, and the enemy's trying to do whatever he can to stop it, you know, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, we're at war with a country that's like that, you know what I'm saying? And I'm always very careful with what I say about Mother Russia, you know? A lot of my friends, they went through the fall of USSR.
Wow.
And I try to be empathetic with them, you know, and but it is what it is. It's like, dude, like, you guys are not living in freedom.
Wow.
You think you are, but you know, but you're not.
So what, can you share with us like a story, like some breakthrough you've seen while being out there, you know, like what type of, you know, like what's God doing out there?
Yeah. The cool thing is with different parachurch organizations that we partnered up with, they're intentional on discipleship, and little by little through discipleship, people are growing. You know what I'm saying? Because when you know God's word, it's going to keep you,
mm-hmm.
right? And his spirit will keep you, because then you could rely on his word. It's like, you know, I tell people, like, you know, we're just passing through. We're citizens of another kingdom. And how do we know our citizens' rights, right, if we never read the Constitution? The Constitution is the Bible, right? And how would we know if we didn't have that ambassador, which I believe is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, right, of that kingdom? And so it's important that people get discipled, and it'll keep them. It's just like my translator, like, dude, she loves the word of God, you know? Like, she's the only Christian in her family. She's been through it, bro, been through it. And so to see the handful of Christians that are growing in discipleship and growing and wanting to share the word of God to their families, you know, that's
the hunger.
Yeah, they're definitely hungry. Definitely hungry. So that those are some of the things that I've seen personally. Yeah.
Definitely. And what would you say, being in that region, you know, in working in that area, what are some of the needs of the people out there?
I think, well, first, of course, the gospel, right? So, because when we have the gospel, then we have everything that we will need. But a lot of the major needs, again, is the gospel, is discipleship. They're a very poor country. It's funny that people have told me, like, oh, I thought you were going to a country where, like, their stomachs are big and flies are on their face. I'm like, they're like that spiritually.
Yeah.
They're like that. Look at it through the spiritual lenses. Like, dude, there came out of communism, heavily, you know, involved in other religions, and they're spiritually starving.
Spiritual orphans.
Yeah. Well, think about it. I mean, there's a huge denomination that went in there, but they're not spirit filled. So they have the word, but they don't have spirit along with it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's like the missing factor. That's the missing factor. You got heavy word with, you know, but the spirit that comes alongside that and gives us that dynamo, that dynamite of power of the Holy Spirit. And so, it's much needed. It's much, much needed, you know. And we, of course, we need that balance. Everybody needs that balance. Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of the things that I see. Dude, we're at 48 minutes. We're almost done, man.
Yeah. And just real quick, I know Pastor Mario won't plug this, but I want to plug this. If you know God's speaking to you, and he's putting it on your heart, and you want to definitely want to give to missions, you want to be a blessing to, you know, what God's doing in this region, you can go to, I mean, you can directly contact Pastor Mario, or you can go to aplaceofmercy.com. You can go to the give page, and there's a drop down for missions, and whatever you give goes directly into missions. And, you know, like I said, if God's putting that on your heart, we definitely want to be a blessing to, you know, what God's doing.
Yeah, thanks, man. Right now, we have a camp going on for older students, non-believers, and we have over 42 students, and that's a big plus for us. It's huge. and pray for them. Pray for them that they receive Christ, and pray for them in their walk, and that they find discipleship, and that we could point them to good church, good churches. But God's on the move, and just because some, you know, some missionaries maybe they're not posting, or they're not. It's just, dude, I have friends that are, at least I could do a podcast about it, but I have a friend, him and his family live in a country over by me, and they can't say anything, bro. Wow. Nothing at all. Like, he sends me an email, and it's specifically, don't post it, don't say anything about it, and that's it. So there's a lot of Christian missionaries that are behind the, which we would say, the enemy lines. You know, like it says that, hey, we're gonna send you as sheep amongst wolves, man. And it's true, and it's happening, and it's real. And so just keep them in prayer. But you know, I'm happy I have two nieces. I just want to throw a shout out, my niece Chloe, and then I can't believe I'm getting old like that. Oh, Vanessa, she lives in Tucson, and she went to Kenya. Wow. And these two young ladies, dude, they're young people, bro. They could be doing other things, you know, but they chose to go to the mission field. One was in Brazil, one was in Kenya, in their early 20s.
Wow.
You know, when I was in my early 20s.
In the club?
Yeah, that's why I got knee problems. You drop it like it's hot. No, but, you know, it's like, I'm all about missions, man. I'll always be about missions. I know God put it on my heart. And I actually, people are like, dude, you need to write a book, man. It's, you know, and believe me, I started, hopefully by the end of this year. I think by the end of this year, I'll be done with it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's it'll be a short book, but it'll be good, and it'll be about missions, risking it all, you know, and I think that's the least I could do. You know, I love God. I try. Am I perfect? Nah, man. Sometimes I wanted to reach across the table and choke people out, you know, try some of my jiu-jitsu moves on them, but I've learned a lot of, I'm trying to learn humility and self-control and those kinds of things. And sometimes I just want to come home. I miss my family. Definitely. I can see why God sent them out two by twos. You know, I'm there by myself, you know, and I'm like, if, you know, somebody wants to come out and hang out, and again, you're with the English teacher, you know, so I got my work permit. It makes it a lot easier for me. And even crossing borders, it makes it easier for me, because I'm like, I'm an English teacher. You know what I said?
Yeah.
I got my work permit. And so, I hope you guys really like the podcast. And I'm going to try and do some more while I'm here with Louie. Yeah,
definitely.
And
we're definitely glad you're back. You know, I know we talked about, you know, putting out some more content before you head home.
Yeah, it's good to be back. You know, sometimes I find myself even hiding again in my cave, because that's just what I've been used to. You know, I live by myself. I got myself a cat, so I never thought I would own a cat. But he's cool. My friend's watching him right now. But the adjustment, you know, coming back 13 plus hours difference, took me about a week for jet lag. And then every time I come home, I'm like, I kiss my passport. Of course, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for letting me be part of your kingdom first. But I also do. We live in an amazing country. An amazing country. Yeah. Do we have our issues? And is it going downhill pretty quick? It is, dude. The Christians need to stand. The alphabet mafia and that agenda, you know.
That's gonna be for another.
that'll be for the next podcast. We'll talk about that, because everybody's like, I come back and they're like, "Are you gonna go to a Dodger game?" You know, because of what went on with the Dodgers and the Alphabet Mafia and the nuns that were doing crazy stuff. You know, and my heart broke when I saw the video, man. I'm like, I'm glad my dad's not alive to see this. You know, his heart would have been broken.
One thing he loved, the two things he loved was Jesus and the Dodgers.
Right? And then to see them, you know, people were like, oh, Sodom by the Sea, you know, Los Angeles and all this kind of stuff. But to answer the question, it'll be on another podcast, but no, I haven't been to a Dodger game. And yeah, I'm boycotting. I don't even watch highlights, nothing. I haven't burned my jerseys yet or my hats. That might come, but I don't know. I'm trying to, honestly, sometimes I feel like I'm trying to figure out a way why I should support them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, definitely. Is there a way around it? But I can't.
You happy to back to some good Mexican food?
Well, yeah, of course. They don't have any Mexican food. They got what am I going to eat? Like horse tacos? You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys, they mess with me and they're like, oh, you want to go get some Asian food? I'm like, heck no. No Chinese food, no Japanese, nothing Asian, no Mongolian food. I'm good. I think I've eaten Mexican food the whole time I've been here. And it's good. So, yeah, that's what's going on. But, hey, Louis, I want to thank you for hosting. And listeners, look out there. He's coming out with some new gear for Bold and Free. Free and
no, bold. Definitely. Yeah, we're actually Free and Bold.
Free and Bold.
So we're on Instagram. Had to take a little break. You know, I got married. Well, that'll be another.
That'll be another podcast. Episode. Yeah, yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Man, all in 1 year, this guy, right, couldn't walk, gets married, moves, like, dude, so many amazing things happen all in 1 year while I was gone.
God's been definitely been good to me. And we'll definitely share that.
Yeah, I'm hoping this next year is going to be like that for me. I'm like, Lord. Well, I told you I got a job offer in Ibiza, Spain for being a teacher. And I was like, Lord, are you telling me that you're sending me out of Central Asia and to Ibiza? They need Jesus too because they party like crazy over there. So, but no, it's not. I'm going back to Central Asia. So. We'll see what happens. But all right, Rugged 33 listeners, I hope you enjoyed. You have any questions or you could DM me. I appreciate all of you. Prayers. I want to say shout outs to my friends Moosin. I hope you're relaxing in Karochi. To my other friend B. I hope Morocco and your new endeavors are good to you. And then my friends from here, Juan. Place of Mercy, Journeyman, all the Journeyman dudes, my cousin Johnny, my mom's a huge supporter of me not just because she's my mom, but she's been good, man. And but I'd like to thank everybody. Appreciate you guys. God bless you. Deuces. How do you know, man?